the full moon, Friday the 13th edition of the PW Torch Livecast. I am Senior Columnist Bruce Mitchell. Let's bring in our co-host, Travis Bryant. Travis, welcome to PW Torch Livecast.
Yeah, what's happening, Bruce? Livecast audience, what up?
What's going on? We're here on Friday. I do want to say that Travis got a big crew of folks going to the CWS Mid-Atlantic show in Gainesville, North Carolina tomorrow. If you're listening to this live or if you listen to this before, 7 o'clock tomorrow night, it starts at 7:30. Join us in Gainesville, North Carolina. Trevor Lee's on the show. A whole bunch of folks are on the show. And that'll be very interesting and entertaining. I talked about this last week because this is when worlds collide, my education career and my whatever this career is, all in the same building. And we'll see whether I survive. I think I may not. So this will be quite the deal. And usually I do, if you regularly listen to the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show or regularly listen to the live cast or read some of my columns, these shows are good. And, you know, there's a strong independent scene in North Carolina, and this is one of the better, 13 years running, and this is one of the better promotions doing it. So, anyway, so what's up, Travis?
Not much. excuse me, ready to talk to some folks and talk some wrestling.
Cool. So where are you as far as AJ Styles and the club? I mean, what a cool name. You think that's leading the Balor Club? Do you think that's not? Where are you this week on how this
Well, I think it lead to Balor Club or something like that, but it also could just be the club. And I mean, it's not the most creative name, but they made it, you know, seem kind of organic. Like, well, they call themselves the club. Club's back together, so the club.
Does it matter that New Japan sent the Bullet Club to Ring of Honor and is going to make a concerted effort to sell even more Bullet Club T-shirts in the face of AJ Styles and Luke Gallows and Anderson? Do you think that matters? Do you think that's because I kind of thought it did. I thought symbolically it said something for one. And you say no. Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. In the sense that for WWE's, from their standpoint, a little bit, or at least from outside looking at their standpoint, like, well, this is probably the first time that, you know, they're going to be doing some similar or cross or very same kind of act, or at least however I'm trying to explain it. But not too many times, if ever, in the past you were able to say, oh, they're doing this in WWE, WWF, and they're also doing this in a completely different atmosphere, ownership, umbrella, all that stuff, let alone two separate places, Ring of Honor, New Japan, and where else is the Bullet Club? It's in three. Oh, in WWE, that's the third. But it's two other places, New Japan and Ring of Honor. So, you know, it's something for us to talk about.
Well, this is true. Chat room is open. I'm trying to get this together. One little tiny detail, but anyway, I still haven't figured it out. So you know, lots of good stuff with that. How are you with Extreme Rules? I mean, is it shaping up to be a decent pay-per-view? Or I don't know that I would see the Extreme Rules part trying to gerrymander all these stipulations all of a sudden into 1 month, make for a weaker pay-per-view. And I'm so over ladders and chairs that I can't tell you. So,
If it wasn't the entire card, if it wasn't, you know, I don't mind a submission match. That's fine. Nothing extreme about that. Right? It's a rule. It's not extreme, but if everything didn't have to be a gimmick. But the year that they had it with the Nexus, where there was like a chair match, like, you know, they had the chair match, a table. Well, that's a TLC, but they'll have a table match, a chair match, and a tables, ladders, chair match to end the show.
It's
not that bad. I don't think it's that bad this coming up at this pay per view.
Any take on the financials this week? I thought it was worth this man saying that they have a lot of returning talent coming back from injuries and admitting that they made, you know, chicken salad out of what was not the greatest lineup in the world by the end of it. But I think those are two positive points we're talking about.
Absolutely. They made a lot of money. They made more money than they have since 2012. I think this was their best year in 4 years. That's got to be good. I'm sure there's some other. I did hear Wade's like overview of the financials the day or the next day, but that's not something I really internalize. Like, well, hey, great, they're making money in a lot of different divisions, and good for them.
Yeah, and I think that, and I do think that I'm really interested in seeing what John Cena and Seth Rollins and Randy Orton and they get more hands on deck. They don't ever have all their hands on deck, but they get more hands on deck. Whether that will have any, you know, any bearing on the ratings or the ratings slowly sinking, and there's, you know, in the way WWE is configured right now creatively, there's not a whole lot they can do about it. I don't know. I mean, I think that's going to be the question as we move forward, because if it doesn't, you know, that's pretty concerning. They have to have. I agree, very much agree with Wayne about this. They have to have a strong or a strong enough rating on USA Network for the next television contract, and they make an enormous amount of money off of television, and this enormous window to lure potential new customers into subscribing to the W Network, and you know, without that, there, I mean, with a weaker platform, we can see what happens with weaker platforms on television. So.
Hey, Livecast listeners, James Caldwell here, letting you know about Loot Crate at lootcrate.com. It's like a friend, knows your preferences, knows what you like, especially in the area of merchandise, themes, t-shirts, lots of great options with a Loot Crate service. What they do is every month they send you a box, you get it in the mail, you get about $40 plus value in every crate every month, sometimes a couple of special surprises or more. If you've seen Torchcom and Sean Radican's monthly unboxings, go check them out on YouTube or here on our website, pwtorch.com. You know what's inside a box they send you in the mail. You get a t-shirt, you get a keychain, you get a tag, you get a photo, lots of different things from the wrestling world. Loot Crate customizes each box based on your preferences, and they also have different themes. It might be a Star Wars theme, Marvel, lots of different themes they come up with at lootcrate.com. So if you've seen Sean Radican's unboxings, you know what you kind of expect, but Loot Crate is more than just a subscription service. It's also a community, and they share their experiences unboxing each month's crate, and you get that $40 value in the mail with your subscription service. And here at PW Torch, on the PW Torch Livecast, we have an offer where you get a discount off your crate. All you have to do is go to lootcrate.com, and when you sign up and you set up your subscription service, enter the code PWTorch. You get $3 off any new subscription for you. Share it with a friend. Tell a friend, go to lootcrate.com, enter PWTorch as your code, get $3 off your subscription. That's for any new subscription, so be sure to sign up quickly. There's a deadline every single month, but with that subscription, you get about $40 worth of value in each month's themed, curated crate that you get sent right there in the mail with some cool stuff and with different themes each month. So again, lootcrate.com, enter the code PWTorch. Let your friends know about it and enjoy the subscription service.
If you're like me, you've got a list of favorite websites and a list of favorite podcasts that you visit either every day or throughout the week, but there's probably not a lot of crossover between the two. However, with PW Torch Livecast, that's different. If you're a listener of this show, you should also be visiting our main website, pwtorch.com, loaded with updates covering news in more depth than you'll find anywhere else. Editorials you won't find anywhere else. Live TV coverage and pay-per-view coverage that's unmatched. And so much more on a newly redesigned, optimized, lightning-fast website. That's pwtorch.com. Check it out every day and bookmark it. No matter what device you're using, whether it's a mobile phone, a tablet, a laptop, or a desktop, there's a version that fits your screen and customized for your device. Check it out, pwtorch.com, one of the top sources of pro wrestling insider news since 1987 and online as a website since 1999. Don't miss out. Don't just listen to the live cast. In between live cast listens or while you're listening to the live cast, check out the latest headlines and exclusive articles at pwtorch.com.
You ready for some phone calls?
Yeah, let's talk to some folks.
Is that for MVP member Brian or Phoenix?
So my question is actually about Divas. Trav mentioned on East Coast Cast,
who?
Which is on Wednesday.
Divas? You mean
No, I meant to say women. Reference? I apologize about that, as I'm about to actually gloss. I'm about to actually say something nice about, like I always say nice things about the East Coast cast, which is on this very same Blog Talk radio network, heard every Wednesday. Remember, parental discretion is advised. About the women, specifically Travis mentioned on Wednesday, or was discussed on Wednesday, about how Alicia Fox is going to be, believe she started in 2006 down in OVW, but she's coming up, she's going to sign a new contract. And that will lead her to, what, like 14 years being in WWE. So I want you both briefly discuss her. You know, not a great moveset. That Fisherman Suplex she does is really great. That's pretty much the only thing she does that's great. But I want you to speak a little bit about Alicia Fox and also about women. Do you think it's time, really, and I know that both of you aren't that big about having more titles, but there's enough women right now, I believe, to support a WWE Women's Tag Team Championship, especially with Dana Brooke coming up. I know she's a favorite of Trav. So, again, my question is about briefly discuss Alicia Fox and her tenure with being, like, one of the longest reigning and longest women inside of WWE. And then also, what do you think about having a women's tag team championship? I'll hang on and listen to you both. Have a real good weekend. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it, Brian.
Yeah, thanks, Brian.
I think with Alicia Fox, when you've been there that long and you're part of the – it's hard to say this with Alicia Fox. She's certainly not old, but you're kind of part of the old guard. Particularly women in WWE seem to have a shorter shelf life, so that might work against her. She's not part of the new women.
The whole thing is the 14 years is once that contract is done, no matter what happens, you know, it'll be
right.
It'll be 4. Well, yeah, it's 10 years now, 10, 11 years now. She's had as long a career as, you know, male wrestlers who've had decent careers, not, you know, like your Orton, he's been around, you know, almost 15 years or so already. I'm just thinking that no other woman besides like Moolah or Mae Young or something, they don't last for 14 years. That's like unheard of.
Yeah, it really is. And particularly when she was hired, I think it's changing some, but when she was hired, it definitely was about looks, and if you're marketing acts on looks, you know, you need new people with new looks all the time, and so that may work against her. I think she's expressive. I think she can play a character, so I think that's in her favor. Being African American now in WWE is in her favor, but you know, it'll be an interesting choice to make, and I wouldn't be surprised to see her just fading off. I mean, that's my guess. And just, you know, I think that there's other, you know, I think there's a lot of women now that bring more athletically or more of what fits WWE and WWE women's division than Alicia does. So it'd be interesting to see. She hasn't been featured a ton. And of course you got to throw in, the show, you know, throwing Total Divas, and her time on there, does that help her, or do they want to go to some other, you know, some other characters too?
No, totally. And I don't think there's as much time as you have, you know, 3-hour Raw, 2 hours, just, you know, 5 hours of first run TV plus, you know, other weekend shows or, you know, other stuff. There's no need for a women's tag title, tag division.
Yeah, I would want to see some real traction.
Can I get like 3 years of the regular division doing like, you know, like hitting on all cylinders, or at least like, you know, 3/4 of their cylinders for a significant stretch of time, not 6 months. I mean, it's been okay the past, you know, I guess maybe a little less than a year, but I'm not clamoring for more matches, more titles, more. Yeah, no. It's a little much. And it's not really to do with that. Well, more titles, another belt, another pair of set of belts. It's just the division itself and the commitment to the division.
Well, that
I need to see
is,
it
I think
more.
I would want to see. I mean, right now you've got some women. You've got Charlotte, Natalya, Sasha Banks to a certain degree. You've got some women that are beginning to really matter. But you need more of them. And then when you have that, then you can get a tag team issue going. and keep a tag team issue, and then get a few more tag teams, then you could start. Then you could start a if that all goes that way. And that would be a long time down the road. That would be tough to do. But I mean, I think it wouldn't be the worst thing. If I was going to add one more set of titles, that would be the one. But they need more women, not that can do it, but more women over right now doing it. Wrestling in the ring and being being a real factor, and I think that's that definitely is right there for it. So it'd be interesting to see where they can go with that. So let's go to another regular caller. Let's go to Darrell from Georgia. Darrell, welcome to PW Torch Livecast again.
How you doing, Bruce? How you doing, Trav? Okay. Well, hey. My question is, for this week for both of you guys is this right here. A phrase or a statement that really drives me crazy is when people say you should be happy that the guy that you like or follow or the group that you follow are in the main event scene. And I wanted to ask you guys this. Just being in the main event scene without getting anything from it, like keeping you hot or making you look like a main event guy, Does it really serve any purpose if you're in the main event scene and you take nothing from it? Because my basis on this is coming off of, you got Anderson and Gallows, they're in the main event scene right now because they're helping AJ out. But they kind of lost their luster a little bit, their heat, or whatever they came in with. And I'm pretty sure once they leave up out of here, they're not going to take anything from it. So just them being in the main event scene, does that serve any justice?
All right. Darrell, there's several points in that. One of them is we don't know how it's going to play out. And you may be right, but we'll see where it plays out. They get some things that they do get from it. They get exposure as acts in 2016 right now on the wrestling show with the most eyes on it. And they're counted as credible. Now, what they do and what they do matters. Now they're getting beat too much, and I definitely agree with that. But and then if you're in the main event scene for every time you're in the main event scene, you're going to make better money, and that's that's part of it. The other thing though is, I don't think fans should settle for someone telling them that their favorites are in the main event scene, so they should just be satisfied to stop complaining. If you're not happy about how your favorites are being used, you got every right not to be happy about it. You're the one investing your time. You're the customer. You're the client. You're the one investing your time and your money and following the product. And so, I'm not crazy about the pat on the head. And the guy that you don't like is getting a better deal, is getting a better push, and you're not wherever you are as a fan. Now, maybe you should, it's important to understand the business and who's driving the money so that you don't get too frustrated or at least you know why. But maybe there's some better options, and your guys are part of that option. So there's a lot of factors in that, Travis.
Yeah, no, I don't have much to add to that. I wasn't really sure how to answer that, and you did a decent enough job, so I'll leave it at that.
Well, appreciate it. I'm here to do, particularly today on Friday the 13th with the full moon, a decent enough job. So
is it really a full moon tonight as well?
Yes.
Oh, holy crap.
So, I was just really happy to be going to school today. So it's just like, just walked in on some teachers like, hey, Friday the 13th, I know it's a full moon. Oh, my God. So, I believe in a full moon. So, yeah,
the full moon's an actual thing that affects the earth and people. Friday the 13th is a date when a bunch of Templars got murdered, and here we are 900 years later. Ooh, Jason's coming, or Freddy Krueger or something.
That's cool. Let's move to another VIP member, our friend Colin from New Jersey. Colin, Friday, good to hear from you.
Good day for you too, Bruce. And Travis, how are you guys this week?
Not bad, man. What's on your mind?
Let's see here. My question for you two guys concerns WWE Network programming. Bruce, I think you especially will get a kick out of this. Apparently, the network will be producing an E! True Hollywood Story type program, I would guess, called WWE Behind the Curtain. And two of the subjects of this show are supposedly going to be Gorgeous George, the career of Gorgeous George, and surprisingly, the murder of Bruiser Brody, apparently. How do you think this Behind the Curtain program will be executed?
Colin, I definitely really? Say, I mean, you're the first person to bring this up to me, and I'm a little skeptical of it, honestly, and for a couple of reasons. One is WWE has been involved in trying to get a Gorgeous George movie greenlit, a theater movie greenlit for a number of years, and I didn't know that they'd given up on that. It would surprise me if they had. The other thing is they're in business with the Colognes. They're in business with Carlos Colón. They have two of the Colognes, and the fabulous was it the Star Makers, the Star Bright, whatever that goofy gimmick is. But they're in the
Shining Star. That's Puerto Rico's
Shining Star.
Catchphrase.
Oh yeah, oh, that's, right. So Primo and Epico, and so they're in business with the Colón family. If they're doing a Murder of Bruiser Brody documentary, that kind of goes in direct opposition to one of their Hall of Famers and someone they want to keep happy for various reasons to help in the Puerto Rican market. I would be very surprised at that second one. I know there's at least one independent filmmaker who has looked into doing a documentary on the murder of Bruiser Brody and maybe just doing a documentary on Brody. There's been a couple of books about it, but I would be surprised to do that, particularly corporately, and then also just corporately, kind of shining lights into seamy corners. There's certainly enough of them in the professional wrestling world. They may be interested in WWE always likes to set the story, always likes to dictate the terms of history to varying degrees of success, and so they might want to do that with various scandals. But I don't know. That really surprises me.
To that specific point, I see, this is 30 years later and it wasn't there. It wasn't like whatever the Puerto Rican promotion, Colón's promotion was, farm system or in league or whatever with WWE. I mean, it did talent stuff, but as far as like official ownership, management, all that kind of thing.
No,
so it's not really there.
Top star and co-owner of the promotion and actively involved in what happened after the
right.
Invader murdered, after his other top star murdered Bruiser Brody. I mean, it's, if you're going to
I mean, as far as WWE and his promotion. There was talent, hey, go to this. I get that. But as far as there was no direct management or ownership, so it's not their story to get ahead of, like, whatever. We'd be putting more people on to this story than trying
that's
to bump something.
Not they're trying, they're not involved in the story, not at all, but an ally of theirs is directly involved in it. And they would be putting more people,
I'd watch it, but I'd go in, with this side eye, I'm pretty sure you and Wade, within the last 6 or 8 weeks, I don't know if somebody wrote in to Bruce Mitchell Audio or quite asked BruceMitchell@gmail.com and posed that question, would they ever? But you guys, it raised, starting to have that conversation. And here we are, a month or two later. And it's, at least according to Kylan, it's being talked about. Or at least under that format, like the Inside Edition type or whatever.
Yeah, the Gorgeous George deal, that would either tell me that one of two things, either they're making progress in the movie and they want to have a documentary to go with it on the WWE Network, or they're not making progress in the movie, they just want to get something out of the time and research they put into and buying the rights for Gorgeous George's Widow and the rights to the book and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I mean, that could be part of it. So
it's probably the latter.
Yeah. So we shall see. All right. Let's go to our friend Mike in Brooklyn. Mike in Brooklyn, you're up next on the PW Torch podcast. Jay,
what's going on? How y'all doing, fellas? On this Friday. What's up? What's up, y'all? Back up, Colin's claim, Bruce is slated to be one of the, the documentaries that they, working on for this new series.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. I mean, that's interesting. Like I said, that's interesting. So.
Yeah. First, to start off with, I wonder if you guys noticed, it slipped my mind to mention on the East Coast cast on Wednesday, with you, Trav, if you noticed, since, the reigns of the family and the club has been married, it's sort of like an undeniable, little chemistry I see between them. Do you think they're giving them an ego boost or, boosting them up,
in Who has the chemistry?
Between AJ and Roman.
Roman, yeah, okay, yes, I agree. There is something there.
And even in the six-man, the six-man elimination match, although, it was a quick match, between all three, you can see, chemistry there. How the Usos work with, Gallows and Anderson. But I just, wanted to get y'all, perspective on that. Then I got something else.
Yeah, Wade Keller and I, the first Mitchell and Bruce Mitchell audio show for VIP members, talked a lot about that six-man tag. And, Wade was disappointed. And I don't like the elimination tag matches where all of a sudden it's really easy to pin guys. All of a sudden, guys get pinned. A lot of guys get pinned all in a row. Wade thought that Anderson and Gallows didn't need that, trying to get established. But I do think that, we also.
Hell, the Usos don't need that. But definitely
exactly.
Anderson and Gallows.
Yeah, and the Usos seem to have lost a little luster associated with Roman Reigns, or at least getting some of the bluebirds on them now, too.
I'm not blaming Roman Reigns. They haven't been the same since. I'm not blaming Roman Reigns. They haven't been, after having to really, being really over and having a nice run for about a year or so, the injury right before WrestleMania 31 to the one Uso, and then he came back 6 months later just for the act was still the exact same thing. And fans were like, and the booze started a long time ago.
Yeah, okay.
The apathy.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely there, I would say. But also, is there some chemistry? I keep thinking that they're going to use the Usos as kind of placeholders until they reunite the Shield, and that's if they put together this Battle Club and make it even stronger. Or, the big question to me is it AJ Styles and Two Stooges sort of like Bray Wyatt has in the Wyatt family? Or is this really, another version of the Bullet Club and it's a major force? And does it add members, specifically within Balor? So,
I don't think it's the fact that you have two strong leaders, if you got to label them that term. Is getting enough or any play. Is Finn going to lead them or is AJ going to? Why can't they just be homies and, they're we fight for each other and, the whole squad.
Always do that. Certainly was done with the NWO and Scott Hall and Kevin Nash. So,
Totally, yeah. I think it would just be so, be so novel because you are so used to, he's the leader. He's the guy that's the main event guy and everybody else is just, you got AJ and Finn winning matches on Raw and on SmackDown and on pay-per-view and, Gallows and Anderson, winning tag matches and stuff. Yeah, that's
it's novel again to like see that kind of a force, you know, NWA Four Horsemen, you know, style, you know, or at least not style, but as far as the numbers go.
Yeah. So all of that kind of depends, you know, all that kind of depends. I can see the Usos getting, you know, beaten and shoved to the side in favor of Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins coming to the rescue of Roman Reigns, maybe if they go that big with it. But I don't know, you know, I don't know where I see this club going, because I could make that argument for that and it'd be really effective. I also could make the argument that AJ Styles is going to have his run up against Roman Reigns, and he's got two guys to help him, and those are the two, those are the two guys to help him. He turns heel, and then he gets beaten, and that's it. And Finn Balor comes in some other way, but it would go against Finn Balor in every NXT show, doing everything he can to make people think he's on his way to the main roster as part of the Balor Club. So all that's pretty intriguing. We'll see where all that kind of washes out. So let's move to, I believe this is Rich from Pittsburgh. You're up next on the PW Torch Livecast.
Evening, gentlemen. I sent you the questions, but one of the things I thought was really weird about all of this is, if it isn't Balor, he's wasting a lot of time on Twitter, because he's constantly, like 4 hours ago, he put up a picture of himself with the jacket with the embroidery back on it, and he put Balor and then Club in capital letters. And, you know, constantly retweeting people and doing all these things. And I think it's like a waste of time, or is it building intrigue? I don't know what you guys think about it. And then I sent you the question, so you can answer those, and I'll get out your hair. But I really wanted to get your opinion on that. And from a comic standpoint, Bruce, did you actually watch Civil War yet?
You know, I'm going to get in trouble, but no, I have not seen Civil War. So I'm going to try to jump into it.
I figured I would have, you were telling me about the fixed part, issue 2 and Ultimate Book 7 is out. I just got 6, it feels like. I haven't even read it yet. And then whatever. So the fact that you didn't say, oh, and by the way, holy crap, Civil War was great. Should have. But I forgot to even bring it up. But yeah, hurry up so we can
definitely need to have that conversation for sure. Well, let's look at Rich's question. Follow up on the Cruiserweight series during the Evolve shows last week, and they had the same question asking the fans, and a few guys that decided to say inappropriate things during the lull pre-chops. Come on, USA. So that's pretty funny. I don't know. To me, we were talking about the week before, in England, one of the promotions that's working with WWE on the Cruiserweight series, and they had cameras there wanting to feature some of them. They asked them not to say inappropriate things and not to screw up the relationship between the small company and the big company, and the fans went along with it. I still think that's a smart thing to do if you're a fan of the small company, and you're going to get better talent coming through. You're going to get more the promotion you follow.
Nope,
can get more
not the Evolve fans.
So.
Nope, they had to be, well, no, I don't want a blanket statement. It was a few people that were
jerks. People like you ruining the rest of our good time. Basically how that works. Well,
yeah, Travis, you're a habitual line crook.
I do step over line quite often.
Oh, sorry, I did start stepping over line. Do it again.
No, Bruce, I am a habitual line stepper. You know, that's the not that you stepped on my line. I cross lines and, talk about people's wives and mothers and, that kind of stuff.
Oh, you cross lines, yes.
Yeah, talk about their cushion or lack of.
So, that makes sense. Okay. Let's take a look at it a little more. By the way, if you would call in, our friend Jason from Australia, who we usually end the show with, that will not be calling in. He left us a question. We'll get to it in just a second. And
did he say why he's not calling in? How dare he?
He said he hates
final
you.
Thing.
He's sick and tired of you. That's what he said. No,
okay. Wouldn't be surprised. I would be, because shout outs to extra big shout outs to Anthony Gallucci, listener of this show, every week listener, and a less frequent listener of the East Coast Cast. But he, I talked on Facebook how we're friends on Facebook. How I had to buy the digital copy of the Black Panther issue 1, and he's like, hey, I got like 3 of them. I can
send you one. I'm like, nah, I already bought the thing. It's fine. Like, I read it. You know, I know the story. I've seen, you know. He's like, no, please, listen. I listen to you every Friday and on some Wednesdays. I really like what you do. It would be, you know, my pleasure. Like, all right, don't let me stop you.
That is really cool, honestly. That is really cool. I mean, you know, first thing you did was text me, so I knew what kind of big shot you were. But, I mean, that's all right. That's a hot book.
That was really awesome of him.
Yeah, it was a nice thing to do. So.
But, you know, when you go around the country sleeping on Torch fans' couches and air mattresses, you know, this type of stuff tends to happen. They know I'm one of those approachable guys, Bruce. You're like, I don't know. I might not come back with my hand. Yeah. Look, I get Facebook messages, and they're like, "Do you think Bruce would accept my friend request?" And then you'll hit me back. Who's, you know, Troy or whoever?
Yeah.
Gatekeeper.
Yeah. Oh man, that's great. Well, you know, I think I said this last time I went and go on Saturday night with a whole bunch of people, and hopefully we'll see some more. But last time I went to CWF, I had several people come up to me and say, "I enjoy your podcast work," and I'm assuming, you know, the first thing they're going to hear is this, and the other one's Bruce Mitchell audio show. So that was pretty cool.
Did they say anything about me?
Did they say,
"Oh, I love your code"?
That's exactly what they said. They said, "I want to send you some comic books."
I love that co-host you're always arguing with. Like, oh, they're not talking to me.
Oh, you got to narrow it down if you say that to me. Yeah, and, you know, Virgil versus, then I get, you know, Virgil versus Million Dollar Man at SummerSlam was not as good as Kurt Hennig versus Bret Hart. Uh-huh. So I get that 25 years later, so I get that too. Well, that's right. So
scouring them back issues. I urge everyone to scour all the back issues starting it from September 1990 or 91 or something like that, and specifically Bruce Mitchell articles, and look like with a fine tooth comb, and then
I'll say it like this: you're gonna have to do it with a fine tooth comb if you're looking for examples of when I'm wrong. You're gonna have to just really dig deep. So I have a high batting average. I'm not scared about that in the slightest.
I think that would challenge everybody. Sounded like a challenge to me.
Yeah. So this is Joe from Mercersville. Send me questions to TWTorchLivecast@gmail.com. And, of course, anytime, you know, we have guests, Andrew McCarthy from another. I did listen to Kevin Attic. That was very interesting. What Wade did with him about why certain guys were treated the way they were, and just a little bit more about dealing with the personality of CM Punk. He was a guy, and creative, who loved CM Punk, the character, and wasn't so crazy as he said about Phil Brooks. So lots of on-hand anecdotal evidence about what the creative room was like for WWE, and pretty interesting. Anyway, Joe from Mercersville. I seem to recall Triple H giving Damian Sandow a major endorsement when Sandow debuted with the Genius gimmick. Is it just a coincidence that the last three tag team partners of The Miz no longer work for WWE? I'm going to go out on a limb and say this. Yes, it is pretty much a coincidence, although you're not getting a strong push out of the gate or during your time if you're allied with a mid-card, you know, delusional actor who thinks he's better than you. I mean, right off the bat, you're not exactly, you know, on a rocket ship to stardom with that. Travis, you have any comments about that part?
I mean, people have overcome worse.
It's not terrible. I'm just saying that it's not something you can't overcome. You're exactly right, but it's also maybe you're not coming on board with, you know, the strongest hand. I mean, that's
and also,
if
you think about, I don't know, maybe it's not the best example, but it just seems like that the way he framed it, it's like, he's the poison, you know, like, don't team with him or have a match with Miz. Like, Miz has had, like, seven tag partners. You know, I think he's won the tag title.
you know, with like four different people, Miz, Jericho and the Miz, or Jericho and Miz, Big Show and Miz, Truth is still around. So, like, okay, Morrison and, like, who I don't even know who else he teamed with that's not around. I mean, I'm sure he has a point, but 3 out of 8 isn't some kind of, like, he's not cursed or something. Sandow.
Yeah.
And Sandow wasn't even
And the one that was maybe treated the worst was Daniel Bryan, and Daniel Bryan went farthest. So, yeah, I don't think Miz is any kind of kiss of death, but I think doing a Miz imitation might be not the best place you want to be in your career for Alex Riley, but
sure.
That's on there. And Triple H giving Damian Sandow, I mean, you know, even Triple H picking talent isn't always, he doesn't always pick the best talent, and it doesn't work out for talent, but he may have seen something in. So that's that was a place for him to be. Now, here's one. If you had only one wrestler you could hire for TNA from the WWE released talents from last Friday, who would you hire and why?
Let's see. Only two of them are really, it's either Sandow or who was he? Oh, man, I guess I'm not putting Ryback in that category. But there was another mid-card guy that got Sandow and I guess the fact that I can't think of who it was, I guess I gotta go Sandow. Jeez. I love how Wade tried to make this case for Alex Riley. It's like, boy, what a reach. But I guess Sandow, because he has the most personality, he's probably over the most, and there's a bit of a clamor for him.
Yeah, you're gonna hate my
unfortunately
answer.
For TNA, it would make no difference.
Yeah, I mean, you're gonna hate my answer, and I think part of TNA's problem over the years is taking guys that have been released or at the end of their run and at least being seen as, you know, at least being seen as you're taking the washouts of WWE, even if that's not necessarily the case. But here's who I would take, and this is also who I take. I take Steve Lombardi. I take the Brooklyn Brawler. I mean, he's got a lot of product knowledge. He's worked on all facets of the wrestling business. I'd want to hire him and have him work as an agent. I mean, that would be, I mean, and, you know, you have some knowledge of what works in WWE, and that's got to be helpful. I mean, it wouldn't, again, kind of what you said, I don't know what's going on with TNA. You know, women's no money, but, you know, we'll see whether they get sold. But right now, you know, they're not, they need a couple pieces of talent or they need a creative thing. They need money and they need, you know, they need to be built back up from the ground floor. And we'll see whether that's even a possibility. Here's another question from Joe. Is Wade Barrett too injury prone to book on a wrestling company's roster as a potential champion? I don't think he's fragile or brittle. I think he's had some bad luck. I mean, it remains to be seen. I mean, I think he's walking away from wrestling for a little while, and I understand that. But no, I don't think he's too injury prone.
No, when you're injury prone, you know typically if you have like knee stuff from like just like if you tore an MCL or ACL or something before, and you're always saying like Rey Mysterio or Kevin Nash. That's I guess technically we're injury prone, or you're tearing biceps and stuff left and right, like
biceps. Yes. Yeah.
But when you get thrown awkwardly out of the ring and you land on your damn arm and shoulder and break your collarbone, like, well, that's going to happen. when you're carelessly, handled like that, and you land like that. His other injuries were just like, well, that's what happens when, you know, you hit that part of your body very hard with something or get something. It's not your body can't hold up to the grind. And I think he even said, like with his physique, he slimmed down, dropped all that, not all that, but a significant amount of his muscle weight and got very svelte. And then really cut, like, just like kind of chiseled for a while there. Because I think he's like, I think I could probably be in better shape and less injury prone, quote unquote, if I'm in better condition.
the whole body condition, not just how do my pecs look.
Right. Well, that's a balance that you have to maintain in WWE. There's no doubt about it, because Vince McMahon, Triple H, and Stephanie McMahon are looking for some specifics, and they like a certain look, and that can work counter into being, being more durable. So I guess that's the best way to say it. So, Joe,
what about Triple H? If he wasn't the boss, he's the most injury prone. I mean, the two big injuries with his leg.
You carry that much muscle and you carry that much defined muscle at this age, that's going to happen. If we're saying, former WWE creative member that Wade interviewed, you did Andrew McCarthy this week, but Kevin Ack last week talked about, it was tough for Wade Barrett because when they get some momentum behind him or they would do something, he did have that bad luck. He would get injured, and and I'm sure McMahon just looked at it like, I want my horses in the stable. And if they're breaking their leg, we got to get another horse out there. So, or breaking their collarbone, we got to do something. And whether it's luck or not luck, I think, it certainly hurt him. And it had to be, really frustrating for him. If he got some career momentum going and then got hurt. So, two injury prone, just some bad luck, which you figure luck evens out. That kind of athletic luck evens out. So, let's say, Joe says, thanks for the weekly audios as former creative WWE team members. I watch WWE wrestling with the sound off and your interviews playing in the background, which must be, inadvertently entertaining at moments, or when coincidences come up and people are on the screen and Wade's talking to McCarthy or Ecker or Farrar or whoever else it is about certain members of the talent career. So, let's hear from Jason. You want to hear from Jason from Australia? So, hi guys, Jason from Australia. I can't call him to the show this week because I don't like Travis Bryant, but could you both talk about WWE conveniently moving away from focusing on the ratings and moving more towards YouTube hits and social media as a barometer for success? And Jason's talking about the conference call with George Barris and Vince McMahon, where they did definitely talk more about social media and not so much about ratings. And I thought that was something of a red flag, although Wall Street didn't think so. And they are profitable and all that. But I'm just and there was at least one reporter who wanted to know, what's the direct link between high social media and revenue, and really didn't get much of an answer for that. So, that was kind of interesting. Talk about, I'm like 107 years old and I don't understand social media. So, actually, I understand a little bit of it. But talk about WWE's strengths of social media and whether that is something they can that they're monetizing, or is it just shows some interest in their product but doesn't turn into profit?
Well, the strength is they have a giant platform that millions of people watch every week. Almost 2 million people, watch their network. So when they say and when they put up a graphic, hashtag this, at John Cena, and this is what Stephanie said on Twitter. So the advantage is those platforms now have a giant audience that can go, let's see what Triple H is saying on Twitter or whatever. So that's the advantage, built-in advantage.
But it keeps your audience involved with the personalities over the time, and it also causes a certain amount of trouble.
Which leads me to a disadvantage. It's just not consistent. It's gotten better, since the it's less Twitter, when they finally, it was like one of those things with they just went full bore, like with conspiracy theories that turn out conspiracy fact, where they go up and to the point, deny. Ah, we knew all along. Wait, what? So it's kind of like that. They didn't talk about Twitter forever when it was a thing, or social media, period. And then it's like they got a memo, or someone Vince really trusts and respects got on Twitter and he heard about it or something. And they're like, oh, this must be the thing. And they just went and beat you over the head with it for the next 6 months. Or it was just a stretch of just, ugh. But it was a typical Vince thing. Like, well, we got to come out the gate and let them know and tell them and tell them and tell them and tell them. So it's just second nature. But the disadvantage is it's inconsistent. They're not exactly the hippest, coolest. You know, you wonder who they have, you know, running these things. Like, do they have a 107-year-old person? Right, or not even age, like a generation thing. Like, just who do they have someone that's in touch? Like, when they have, like, when Wade talks about Stephanie's Twitter, and I love being a bad guy, playing a bad guy on TV, or you know, philanthropy is the new, you know, way companies are getting, like, dude, like, what is, like, don't say that in public, like, don't have your Twitter quote that you have up there, like, just something just so god-awful and out of touch and tone-deaf, so that's a disadvantage. Like, oh, yeah, you got a million people looking at you, but now you're said something stupid or did something silly or whatever. Or your ex, like, tweets out, you know, your schlong on, you know, to a million people.
Right. I mean, that's definitely part of it. And you can get too familiar speaking of that. I mean, you can, I always think of Undertaker. Undertaker's not on Twitter because he's trying to
he sure do a pretty good job. He's trying to, his wife's Twitter and Instagram. He's not that.
Happy life, I guess. Yeah. Well, the mystique, trying to keep the mystique. So, but yeah, I guess there's something to that. But I think they're doing what I mean. And there's another part of it in that corporations are like people, and they follow peer pressure. And you know, WWE is not the only corporation that very much values but haven't figured out social media how to monetize it. And so, that, you know, like, we're successful here. We're trailblazing instead of, you know, this is our business is kind of stagnant here. It's a little bit better here, or we cut, you know, we ran more efficiently, so we made some profit off of not that much growth. Or we're not sure where our our network numbers are going to finally fall, and we're having a hard time increasing everything. Or, you know, I mean, I don't know. It's just, you know, it's kind of it's bragging what you can brag about.
Because of the nature of the business, I think it's hard for them. They can't, like, they should hire a consulting firm team of just young people. They should, I don't want to put limits on it, but there should be no one, like, over 30 on this specific team. But they can't because, or they won't because who – and on one hand, they want to be Hollywood and all that stuff. Well, then on the other hand, they're pro wrestling and kayfabe isn't completely dead, and they want to, you know, they're not going to turn over their trust and stuff to just these, you know, some millennials who don't want to work for their, you know, dollar or whatever nonsense Vince would say.
Well, I think you're talking to what you're saying, though, because then you could, if you had some guidelines, this is the kind of tweet we want you to send out. We want you to send out a storyline tweet that's like this, or we want you to send out, you know, you've gone shopping. So here's a picture of you, you know, shopping. Here's some harmless picture of a woman's wrestler going shopping. And boy, I know that I'm like hitting the stereotype there, but here's
women
something.
Be shopping. Women be shopping.
Yeah, and you know, here's WWE talent going to the gym, or here we are reading a book to, you know, reading a book to some kid's classroom, or this is the things we want you to do, and then here are the things we don't want you to do, and you know, and just kind of stick to that. Yes, all of that would leak out, but so what? And you know, give them some parameters and give them some. You know, we want you to do this many tweets a week, but not any more than this. And this is what we want to be about. I don't think that's so hard
because if you're like. And then if you're a Dolph Ziggler type and you tweet, the parameters are, you know, obviously use common sense and don't be offensive and stuff. But I don't think limiting
limiting Dolph to 100 tweets a week when he's a 800 tweet a week guy is I hope not, but is necessary.
You know what? I mean, that's me not knowing. I mean, that really is me not knowing. So yeah, if you've got somebody, and you know, and the other thing is it's sort of like wrestling. You got somebody that's doing it his way, and he's effective at it, and you can trust him, then get out of his way.
Yeah. Yeah, and like promos, and the people that struggle and aren't really good, then give them some assistance, and that's what you do.
Yeah, exactly.
Or give them some bullet points, I should say.
Yeah, that works. So. But yeah, give them some and some overall guidelines too. But you know, don't talk about blah blah. You know, like don't talk about. You know, yes, somebody got a wellness suspension. Don't talk about this. You know, this is what we want to see. This is what we don't want to see in general. So, all right, Travis, appreciate people sticking with us. Friday livecast. Hope to see some folks at the CWF Atlantic show tomorrow night in Gibsonville, North Carolina. I'm going to see a whole lot of people one way or the other. So, looking forward to talking away about that.
Bruce, to go to 8:05 since we didn't like start till 7:05. But that's the fan-friendly kind of host that I am. But, you know, I understand if that's not your style.
You know, I wasn't going to bring up the sore throat I have, my head pounding, or all these ridiculous excuses I have for. Yeah, but anyway. But thanks. That every breath I take and every word that I say is causing me pain because, you know, that would make me a whiner, and no one wants to hear that stuff. So, but thanks a lot, Travis.
No problem. Absolutely. Anytime.
We'll make up the 3 minutes. Yeah, 3 minutes, less than 3 minutes with folks at another point. So anyway, but thanks for shining a light on my shame, Travis. Nice work. So. Thanks everybody for listening. Thanks to the callers, and we'll be back. Bruce Mitchell Audio, part two. I think part one is already up. So enjoy the shows. This is life.